T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What's trending?
A look at the top trending headlines of the day.
Oh my God.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Driven toward right. Harper back. First pitch. 3-run homer, Donaldson. Josh Donaldson's 37th home run. Rain is out. The umbrella is out in Philly. It's 7-1.
Yeah, Josh Donaldson, fantastic again last night as the Braves take care of the Phillies in game one of this series. 7-2 last night. Folty was good. We'll get to that in just a minute. Randy, they're 5 games into this all-important 14-game stretch now. You know, we had highlighted this 14-game stretch of games for the Braves for a month. Months plus, knowing that you're just going to play the Nationals and the Phillies to end the season, and that was really going to make or break the end of the year.
Yeah.
They're 4-1 in the first 5 games.
Yeah, they're cool.
They're just really good.
They're cool.
They're just a really, really good baseball
team.
And
again, man, I mean, I'm not worried about somebody catching us. I just don't like losing.
Sure.
That's my biggest thing. I don't think they're going to get caught. We talked about this, Andy, back in July. I was like, if the Braves lose this lead, it's their own damn fault. They ain't got nothing to do with nobody else or the Nationals, the Phillies, or whoever. It's all about, you know, the Braves at this point. And I think that, you know, they're in the right spot. It remains to be seen if they're going to go after that number one seed as far as the Dodgers. But if they don't, they're still sitting in a good spot. There's certain teams you want to play, and there's certain teams you don't want to play at this point. Nationals, I'm not afraid of the Nationals, but I don't want to play them yet. You know,
okay.
Because they got them three.
Get the pitchers, yeah.
No, again.
You'll have to see Scherzer.
Yeah, but again, if they line up against us, am I going to be like, oh, they're going to lose? No.
Yeah, because here's the thing. Like, if you're talking about just from a neutral perspective, who you don't want to see in the playoffs,
yeah.
You don't want to see the Braves in the playoffs.
Yeah, exactly.
Because
I'm sure they're saying the thing. I'm sure on their talk on their sports radio show, they're saying that. They want some damn Braves. They want that young boy Acuna, that rainmaker Josh Donaldson.
You think that's how they talk in Washington, D.C.?
Yeah, Acuna.
If you were an opposing pitcher,
right.
Say you're Jason Vargas.
Okay.
Pretend to be Jason Vargas for a minute, okay?
How can
pretend
I do that?
You're shorter.
Why can't you be him? You're short.
I'm just asking you to do it.
But you're shorter than me.
Okay, I'll do it too.
Okay.
Okay, we'll both pretend to be Jason Vargas, okay?
Okay.
I'm about the same height, but I got to put on some weight.
Okay.
And now I'm left-handed. Jason Vargas always has the deep-set eyes, like bags under his eyes. Looks like he's been on a cocaine bender for 3 days.
Right.
Can you pretend to do all these
things? I got you.
Okay. You're pitching tonight against this Braves lineup.
Uh-huh.
Which hitter are you most worried about?
The first one.
Really?
Hell yeah.
You're more intimidated by Ronald Acuna than by Freddie, than by Donaldson. I'm saying, you're looking at the lineup.
Yeah,
that's the guy who you're most worried about?
Yeah, I'm worried about him because he's the first guy I got to face.
I know.
And he could take my soul with one swing at a bat.
Throughout the whole game, you're going to face all of them probably 4 times.
Okay.
Which one of those guys do you think is most intimidating to an opposing pitcher?
I still say Ronnie. Because this is the thing with Ronnie, even if we're not talking about home runs, when he gets on base, it's scary. Because you don't know when he's going to take off, what he's going to do. So, yeah, I say Ronnie.
Yeah, I agree with you, too. I just, between the three.
Yeah, you're trying to be difficult.
No, I wasn't trying to be difficult. I was trying to ask the question in a creative way. And it was fun, Randy. We got to pretend to be Jason Vargas.
All right.
Remember when Jason Vargas yelled at the Mets beat reporter earlier this year?
He was really upset.
He was really, really mad at him. I didn't even realize, I'll be honest with you, I didn't even realize Jason Vargas played for the Phillies.
You didn't know that?
No.
Oh, yeah.
I missed that.
Yeah, he was really upset.
Yeah, he was
mad. And, you know, but they were going through that little, you know. A little bad time.
Yeah, it was when they almost fired Mickey Callaway earlier in the year.
Mickey should have been fired, man.
Well, then he came back and they got hot, remember? And then they came to town and the Braves doused
his job,
fire.
But that daggone Pete Alonso.
Yeah, he's good.
Lord,
he hit a couple more home runs last night. The Braves now have 3 guys, and you know who they are. Ronald Acuna, Freddie Freeman, and Josh Donaldson. That are 2 home runs, 2 home runs, and 3 home runs away from 40. Having 3 40 home run hitters in your lineup. I mean, it's not historic. It has happened before, but it puts you into a category that not very many teams have been in. The Rockies were the last team to do it back in the 90s. The Braves, actually, back in, I think, 1973, were the first team to ever do it. Back in the early 70s, the first team ever to have 3 guys hit 40 home runs. be something to have three guys do that this year. And especially with Ronald Acuna with the chance, like you said, Randy, which makes him more dangerous and maybe puts the fear into the pitchers even more so, is even when he gets on the base paths, Ronald Acuna's ability to get that extra base.
About it.
I was hoping he got walked last night late in the game. I wanted him to steal second. He didn't do it.
Yeah, because, I mean, they're waiting on him now. They're waiting on him. But still, I don't care. Go get it. Hey, if you going to get this 40-40, at least attempt to get it. Even if they throw you out and you end up with 40-39. You know, just
40,
go for
39
it.
Would be the worst.
That'd be the worst, wouldn't it?
Like, be like 43-36 or something. Don't be 40-39.
Yeah, I mean,
if he gets 39 in the final game of the season, he's going every single time he gets on base.
Yeah, he is. I'm like, all right, Ronnie, let's go. Let's go. Let's go, Ronnie.
That's one of those ones where you might have you hit it into the gap and have a triple,
uh-huh.
And you pull up at second base. Dude. So you could try to steal third base.
That's like the trying to get the triple-double and throwing it off the backboard.
Yeah,
you know, so
exactly.
You get that last rebound.
Or if you have a cycle in a game and you hit it in the gap and you could go for three, but you're like, I'm a double short of the cycle, so I'm staying here at second base.
See, you that dude that's going to get binged.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I would get yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You,
if
you,
I
yeah.
played professional baseball.
Yeah, yeah, you'd have got binged.
I'd be bat flipping. I'd be running slow around the bases. I'd be holding up a fake umbrella. I probably wouldn't hold up a fake umbrella because that's Josh Donaldson's thing. Hey, yeah, Freddie Freeman talked about Donaldson last night.
It's actually been big. I've had the right-hander pitching be left in for me because Josh is behind me. So it's given me an opportunity to have more opportunities for damage because usually lefties come in. I'm just trying to hit a base with the left. So that's the biggest thing for me with Josh. It just creates more opportunities for damage for me.
Damage.
Damage.
And he's done a lot of damage. All those guys have. Donaldson, like we mentioned. The other thing, too, is they're getting some guys back. Nick Markakis is going to participate in some simulated games mm-hmm. this week. I know they're bringing a guy up from the minors to throw him some simulated games tomorrow. Here's the thing, though, and I don't mean this to disparage Nick Markakis.
Take your time.
I want him back, but it's not that big of a deal. Like, Matt Joyce has done really well. I want Cakes back for the playoffs. I think having a veteran like that in the locker room for the playoffs, another one, is helpful. But I'm not that worried about it. Same thing with Ender Inciarte. Like, you've filled the gaps so well. Alex Anthopoulos has done such a good job filling those gaps, going out and getting guys. Billy Hamilton for the late game replacement for defense and all that stuff. Like, I'm not stressed about when those guys come back, which is a great place to be.
Yeah, I mean, that was something we talked about earlier in the show, Andy, is the – you know, when Cakes gets back and then, you know, there's certain guys because Joyce is playing pretty good and all this. How do you schedule all that playing time? And that's a good problem to have because at one time you can rest somebody that needs, you know, you can put somebody in that needs some reps that's, you know, like a Cakes, you know. All right, we're 12 games up. We're about to win this thing. All right, Joyce, sit down. Cakes, go back out there. You know, you can do certain things like that.
And you'll get to say Cakes a lot more often.
Yeah, that's what I'm excited about.
Which is nice. Joe Patrick is going to join us in 15 minutes, our 92.9 The Game Braves insider. I want to ask him about Folti's performance last night, Max Fried on the mound tonight, guys that may be vying for that third or fourth rotation spot.
I don't
spot.
Think Max Fried is vying, man.
Okay.
I don't.
Well, he's going tonight.
Let's do it.
Against Jason Vargas. Who we just pretended
to be.
He's
soft. He's in roly-poly.
He's
roly-poly.
Very bad body.
Yes.
I was more pissed off than I've been in a long time. And we've had tough losses. There's a lot of preparation, a lot of buildup, you know, that goes on to start the season, the energy. To have that right, sometimes it could feel like an Olympic race. You're ready to go and false start, and you're out of it before you even get going.
What?
Nothing. Just I thought you said something, and I was like, hold on, did he just say what I thought he said?
I might have, but it was, you know, off the radio
okay.
to Brian and Wendy in the other room.
Yeah, but I heard it.
I know, that's the problem with Randy only wears one headphone.
Yeah. So that's why I heard it. I was like, hold on, did he just say what I think he said?
Yeah.
About Vargas?
When I covered the Mariners in the locker room, he was on the team. So you go in the locker room, sometimes you see some stuff you don't want to see.
Okay. I mean, that's just not something that I would want to share, but that's okay. I mean, I've been around Neck and Man, you know, most of my life, too. Yeah, okay.
I feel like that one might have just gotten saved. Okay. That was Dan Quinn. He's mad. Dan Quinn's mad. And rightfully so. He should be. I'm mad. You're mad. The fans are mad. Here's my question. I asked you this earlier in the show. I feel like Dan Quinn's messaging with all of this stuff.
Uh-huh.
Well, now, I know that Dan Quinn's messaging with all of this stuff, all of his catchphrases, all of his slogans, that I'm pissed, that kind of stuff. it's wearing thin with the fan base.
Oh,
and that's
no,
because
no.
they're losing games.
Exactly. I think I don't even think thin. I think it's got worn off.
I think people are tired of it.
And I get it because, again, it's all about the product you put on the field. We can talk all day to be blue in the face. When we talk about Mike Bell and his tattoo and Tack cutting off his hair and all, I don't want to hear all that, man. Go get it done. All right. And now I'm not putting myself in that fan's perspective of it because I know what's going on for their flower. They're still going to stay together. But yeah, I don't want to hear that. If I'm Billy in the car right now, I don't want to hear no more phrases. I'm tired of talk. All right, we've been talking all offseason. This is the year. Oh, he's been working with this special rush coach. Oh, Tack talking about cutting his hair. Oh, Devontae Freeman is healthy. Nobody wants to hear that no more. All right, this team is too talented to get manhandled the way they did, and they had to throw the ball 10 times. I want to hear it.
I'm with you. I'm with you.
Leave it alone. And again, I don't care about no damn brotherhood. All right? They don't. Now, the guys up there do. But ain't nobody stepping it no more because it ain't getting results. That's why.
No, you're absolutely right.
The brotherhood was deep. Super Bowl run, wasn't it?
It was.
Everybody was getting patched in.
A lot of
Everybody was getting patched in.
It was just patches on patches.
Yeah, it was great, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
And then Julio missed time to jump in Philly and the damn brotherhood. You don't watch Sons of Anarchy. But, yeah, everybody getting their patches burnt off. how they did Clay, strapped them up, burnt. Yeah, everybody got their tattoos burnt off.
Well, what do they have to do to get the patches back on there?
Win. Because then, you know what? When they win, they come back.
Then the brotherhood comes back.
Yeah, they come back.
Well, no, and I'm just as guilty of this as anyone else is. Like, I tend to actually kind of like the stuff that Dan Quinn says. I don't know why.
I have no problem with it.
Yeah, I like his attitude towards leadership.
Because there's always a point to what he's saying. Now,
sure.
Certain people may not get that point, but it's really addressed for those 53 up there.
I like his messaging.
Yes.
But when you have the performance like they had on Sunday,
no one wants
to hear, okay, you're pissed, we're all pissed. That's good. How are you going to fix it? That's the real question. Dirk Koetter spoke to the media yesterday as well.
Injuries are just an unfortunate part of it, but that's also one of the reasons we brought the free agent guards in. James Carpenter got off to a pretty decent start at left guard, and now we're going to need Jamon Brown to step in at right guard, and Jamon has got a lot of experience in the league. Wes Schweitzer came in and filled in for 30-some plays, and, he'll still be ready to go as well.
Yeah, now that is actual, like, on-the-field football-related conversation there from Dirk Koetter.
Right.
Who is going to play right guard on Sunday? Yeah, pissed, all that stuff.
Right.
No, Jamon Brown now has to step in and play right guard.
Yes, he does.
Because Chris Lindstrom is hurt.
Right.
There's no other way to put it other than it sucks.
Yep.
It really, really sucks that Chris Lindstrom got hurt in the first game. He was your first pick of the draft last year, your offensive line answer, because you wanted to protect Matt Ryan. Mm-hmm. And in the first game of the season,
he's down.
Just like last year, where important players were getting hurt, and then that became the narrative of the year. It sucks.
It does.
The good news is this year, hopefully, is that you went about acquiring depth for that offensive line, and now you have Jamon Brown stepping in behind Chris Lindstrom, and it's not Wes Schweitzer. It's not Ben Garland.
Yeah.
It's not these guys that, no offense to them, don't have the talent to
Thank
be
you.
Starters in the NFL.
Yeah, and it's the funny thing I heard in that clip is he said Wes Schweitzer played about 30 plays. He didn't say he played good or none, did he?
He was out there.
He was out there,
yeah.
And he just glossed right over that part right there. But this is why you asked Matt in offseason to restructure his contract. We thought it was to get money for some Julio and all that. No. It was to get some bigger guys in front of them. Now, one thing about these two dudes, they're big men. You know, that's what I'm saying. They're going to move people. And again, my keys for the game last week were number one was force the run. It'll be the same thing. You got to run the football. You got to get because as good as Fletcher Cox is, you get two bodies on him enough, you'll wear him down. That's the thing about it. If you get enough bodies on him and you keep going at him, you'll get enough bodies on him, you'll wear him down.
Yeah, here's that's a really great point, Randy. Like, we talk about these guys leading into the games against the Falcons and then oftentimes coming out of the games against the Falcons as if no one can stop them. Like, with Danielle Hunter and Linval Joseph and all these guys, some teams beat these guys.
Yeah.
Like, some teams stop them. They don't get three sacks against every single team. They don't get five sacks against every single team. Like, there are offensive lines that go up against Fletcher Cox and actually do a pretty nice job against him. I'd love to see the Falcons be one of those teams where instead of being like, oh, no, Fletcher Cox, and then on Monday we're like, damn, Fletcher Cox sure did handle his business.
No. You notice how I started my whole thing. No, there's got to be two of them now.
No, sure.
Yeah.
No, I didn't say one guy. I just said a game plan.
Oh, okay, yeah. The game plan is you know,
because other teams go in and they beat these guys sometimes.
Yeah.
Like it seems like we've gotten to the point with like being beaten down and frustrated with our offensive line for so long that it's a foregone conclusion that these guys have to kill you. They don't have to.
Yeah.
Like you could stop them.
Just block them. That's the most important thing. Block them. Get a hat on a hat. And just right now, Mike Garafolo is coming out. Malik Jackson expected to miss the season with the Liz Frank injury. So that's one less D-line you got to worry about.
One piece of Atlanta United news, which is just breaking. Joseph Martinez, player of the month for the second consecutive month.
Oh, they ain't breaking news. We knew that.
They just announced
Orlando.
It. Orlando. They just announced it. So we found out
about that. We knew that, man. He's that dude.
I'm telling you, we knew it. They just announced it.
Orlando Martinez.
I think he gets a trophy for that. Or a plaque or something. He probably gets something for it. Monday Night Football was on last night as well. A couple really good games, especially the first one. Do we want to do this? Do we want to listen to the way that... Oh, no. Let's have Drew Brees talk about the 10-second runoff thing.
Someone came up to me in the locker room and said that the league acknowledged that there was a mistake that was made, that 10 seconds should not have run off, that we should have had 31 seconds left. Instead, we only had 16. That can't happen. That's a game changer, right? We end up having to kick a 58-yard field goal or whatever it was, attempt a 58-yarder. If we had 15 more seconds, are you kidding me? You know, we're going to get closer. So that's the game changer. That can't happen.
Yeah, that's Drew Brees after the game last night talking about a mistake made by the referees. And here's the thing. It's fun to make fun of the Saints fans for all the whining that they do about
the refs. They were referee coats.
Coats.
Jackets, sweaters, t-shirts, whatever you want to call it.
They paid money to dress like referees. My point is this. We need to be careful and make sure that the referees don't do this, because when it happens to you, I don't want that to happen to the Falcons.
I don't want. We got a pair of SmackDown tickets, Andy. Two pair of SmackDown tickets. Caller number 404-741-0929 gets those tickets.
Why'd you pick number 4?
Because that's what Brian told me in my ear.
Oh, okay. Good work, Brian. Great producing. We'll come back and talk to Joe. I just wanted to know. We'll talk to Joe Patrick coming up
next. Mokin' Joe!
Our 92.9 The Game Braves Insider. Right after this on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. The Midday Show with Andy and Randy here with you on a Tuesday. Coming up in 20 minutes, as always, we will close the show out with the AMA. Any question, any topic, Solomon Brothers down in text line, 404-741-0929, or on Twitter, at TBM929. Some good ones already coming in, man.
Yeah, man.
Some really good questions already coming in. So feel free to get your questions in early, and we will answer them in 20 minutes.
All right, so congratulations to Emmanuel Todd of Smyrna. You want a pair of tickets to see SmackDown live at State... Yeah, that's where you live at. State Farm Arena on Tuesday, September 17th. See your favorite WWE stars. On Tuesday, September 17th, limited tickets are available at WWE.com. I almost said WWF.
Don't say WWF.
Almost.
Yeah, the World Wildlife Foundation will come after
you. They were upset.
And thank you for listening, and hopefully we can reward more folks throughout the week and get you to SmackDown. All right, as we always do at 1:20 on Tuesdays, speaking of SmackDown, Twitter SmackDown himself, Joe Patrick joins us, our 92.9 The Game Braves insider. How are you, Joe?
Joe! What a segue. What a segue that is. Congratulations, Andy. That was beautiful.
Professional radio host Andy Bunker. Hey, Folty was really good last night. And I remember two starts ago he got red and got hot and had to come out of the game. I don't think I've seen Folty look as good this season as he did last night. Is he making a late case for himself to be in the playoff rotation?
Yeah, no, he really is. You know, it's funny. We've seen two of the best starts we've seen from any Braves pitchers here in the last week or so. With, first of all, it was Max Fried blanking the Washington Nationals in the first game of what was a very crucial series for the Braves. And then obviously last night, Mike Foltynewicz going out. I think he only gave up 3 hits last night. Was just completely dominant. And for me, what was one of the biggest things for him was he didn't walk anybody. Because if you look at his past few starts, he had pitched in his last 21 innings pitched. He'd gotten wins. His ERA in that time, I think, was only 2.11 or something. But he had given up 10 walks. He'd been giving up a lot of base runners. It was causing him to have a lot of stressful innings, more so than you would think for a guy that with an ERA that low over that time span. But last night was just beautiful to watch. I mean, he continues to outduel aces from the other team. If you think back to the Dodgers series when the Dodgers came to town to play in SunTrust Park, Mike Foltynewicz outdueled Ryu. Then they went on the road to New York, and Foltynewicz outdueled Jacob deGrom, one of the best pitchers in baseball, and then again last night with Aaron Nola. So I think you have to look at what he's doing against you know, obviously he's not pitching to those other pitchers, but he's getting the better of these guys, and he's giving the Braves opportunities to win games. And when you look at what the Braves are going to be facing in the postseason, though, you know, that's the kind of competition you're going to be going up against. So it's great to see that from Mike Foldynewicz. On the other end, on the other side of the spectrum, I don't know how you determine which four starters you go with, because you can literally make a case for all these guys. All these guys, maybe other than Mike Soroka, the other four are pitching as well as they have all season. And Mike Soroka is a guy who, you know, he has the fourth lowest ERA in baseball. Mm-hmm. So it's really, really tough to pick from this group right now. And it's really what carried them to this amazing record they have right now.
You took the words right out of my mouth. Because I was going to say, do you think that's in the back of their minds, is the fact that, you know, I might get left out of this thing? And, Joe, when we usually have been doing this by the last month or so about trying to project the starters for the playoffs, and it's always we got Dallas guy, we got Mike Soroka, and then we always say, and maybe Max Fried. Is it time to start putting Max Fried in there, say, and Max Fried?
Yeah, no, Max Fried is looking as good as he's looked all season, and it's important to remember how good he looked at the beginning of this year when he was really just shutting down guys and earned his spot in the starting rotation. Because remember, he started the season in the bullpen, but he got an opportunity, and he didn't let go of it. And he's looking as good now than as he did back then, maybe even better. In fact, I think that the start that he had against the Nationals that I mentioned earlier was probably the best, most dominant outing we've seen from any Braves pitcher so far this season. I know Mike Soroka's had some really good outings. Again, what Mike Foldynewicz did last night was very impressive. But in that outing from Max Fried, I mean, I think he had 9 strikeouts in 7 innings, no walks. I mean, that's the kind of dominance that you love to see. And it's an interesting dilemma what the Braves have here, because they have an interesting set of arms in this rotation. A lot of, you know, the big premier arms in baseball are guys that are throwing very high velocity, racking up lots of strikeouts, you know, those kinds of, you know, your prototypes, right? The Braves have a kind of a different mix. You know, their prototype, Mike Soroka, is a guy who's going to induce a lot of ground balls, and he's not going to have a high strikeout count, but he's not going to give up tons of home runs. He's not going to even give up a lot of fly balls. Same with a guy like Dallas Keuchel. Dallas Keuchel is in the latter stages of his career, doesn't have the velocity, and neither does Julio Teheran, for that matter. But these are all guys that kind of get the job done in different kinds of ways. And I think that when you look at guys like Max Fried and Mike Foldynewicz, those are probably the two, you know, prototype new age style pitchers that you have in the rotation. So it'll be interesting to see how Brian Snicker manages this, how he decides to use these guys, because one of them, all five of these guys are going to be in the playoff roster. The question is which four are the starters and which one is kind of coming out of the bullpen as long relief. Max Fried, as I mentioned, has already come out of the bullpen as a bullpen arm earlier this season. But again, he's pitching too good right now, in my opinion, to have him do that in the postseason. So it'll be interesting to see if there's a guy like a Mike Foldynewicz who has a bit of a different role come playoff time.
Do you think Snit knows? I know there's 17 games left in the season, still, you know, got to clinch the division and all this stuff to get to the playoffs. Do you think Snit knows what his playoff rotation looks like already, or is it legitimately still a competition at this point?
I think it's still a competition, but I think that Snicker, this is just me speculating,
sure.
Just from having been around the team. I think Mike Foldynewicz is the guy that would come out of the bullpen. Mm-hmm. I think that you are looking at Julio Teheran, Mike Soroka, Dallas Keuchel, and Max Fried as your four starters. And again, because those are the guys that have had the most experience, not just throughout their careers when you look at guys like Julio Teheran and Dallas Keuchel, but then on the other side, when you have Mike Soroka and Max Fried, these are guys that have been in the starting rotation all season. I don't think that, you know, I think Brian Snicker trusts that. And I think that he's a guy that relies on just knowing what you're going to get out of the guy. And again, that's always been the knock on Mike Foldynewicz, right? Is that you don't quite know exactly what you're going to get. I've kind of thought that might be a reason why you would want him in the starting rotation, because he can give you an amazing start kind of out of nowhere. But I think that right now you're looking at Mike Foldynewicz coming out of the bullpen. I think that that's what Snicker would want. But I think that there's still time for things to happen and for things to change.
So when you look at some of the people that are maybe coming back, we're hearing that Nick Markakis, it's a possibility he may come back this weekend. What kind of role do you think they'll use him in, considering how good Joyce has been playing so far while he's been out?
Yeah. Again, just like I said with the pitchers, when it comes to Brian Snicker trusting experience, I'll be very interested to see kind of how he deals with a guy like Nick Markakis, because Markakis will join up with the team, I believe, tomorrow in Philadelphia. He will join them He'll do some batting. He'll work in the batting cages. He'll do some simulated games. And I think they hope to activate him possibly by the weekend, if not very early next week. But he seems to be healing up and joining the team soon. It will just be interesting to see kind of what he looks like, really. I think that it will behoove the Braves to try to get him as many at-bats as possible before the postseason. But when you're coming off a wrist injury, you know, that can be a tough one for hitters to come back from, you know, because that's where you have a lot of strength. You need a lot of strength in your wrists to be able to swing the bat effectively. And it'll be interesting to see, you know, if Marquez is able to do that. I got to say, just from being, you know, in the clubhouse, he is one of the most diligent in terms of working out. He's one of the most fit guys probably in that clubhouse. So I have no worries that he's doing everything he can to make himself as strong as possible, but it'll be interesting to see how he's used. I have a feeling, I kind of worry a bit that Snicker might kind of really rely on him because he knows him so well. He wants to kind of put him in the lineup. So it'll just be interesting to see if he's able to outperform Matt Joyce, because Matt Joyce has been, you know, almost not MVP, but he's just like kind of like your lower level MVP, where he's doing the dirty work and not really getting a ton of credit for it.
He's kind of been the spark lately.
We were looking for that spark, right?
Left and right. Yeah, whenever guys get hurt, somebody steps up, and that will be something to watch and monitor when the postseason gets here. That loyalty that Snitker has, because we know sometimes even when it might not be the thing that everyone else would do, Snicker goes with the veteran or goes with the guy that he's comfortable with, and it's not always worked out. Now, I'm not going to sit here and complain about anything Brian Snicker's doing. They've got 90 wins with 17 games left. Hey, Joe Patrick joining us, 92.9 The Game's Braves insider. Another interesting dilemma, and a good one for Snicker in the next 17 days, is once they finally clinch the division, and boy, is it nice to be able to say that. It feels like that's going to happen.
That's going
to
happen.
Okay, right. I'm not trying to jinx it, but if they finally clinch the division in the next week or so, do you think Snit values rest for some of these guys, or do you value keeping the momentum going?
Yeah, again, an interesting question, and I think that it will kind of – I don't know if there's a very clear answer to this question. I think what you're likely to see is a lot of what happened, what we saw in the game that the team lost in the series finale against the Washington Nationals, where the game was out of reach, and when the game becomes out of reach, then Brian Snicker will turn to some of the guys on the bench and get some of the starters out to give them some rest. I'm not as concerned with the guys that are in the lineup every day, though. They seem fresh. You know, guys like Josh Donaldson, I know there were worries about him coming into the season. You know, he's playing an MVP level right now, and he has been since early June. So, you know, he doesn't look like he's slowing down at all to me. Neither does Freddie Freeman or maybe Acuna. He's played a ton. Maybe you get him a little bit of rest. I'm more interested to see how he manages the starting pitchers, because we obviously know that Mike Soroka and Max Fried are two young guys who are well beyond the limits of what they've ever gone through a major league season in terms of innings pitched. So it'll be interesting to see if they maybe skip a start after they clinch. I mean, and to be honest, I mean, I think the Braves have pretty much already clinched this thing. They would have to just suddenly flip the switch and become a terrible, terrible baseball team.
We live in Atlanta, Joe. Come on.
Don't let them jinx us, Joe.
knock on one of those baseball bats when you get to the park, okay?
We're bigger than this.
Are we? Okay.
Yeah. Hey, Joe, we got about a minute left, and we know how old school Brian Snicker is. How does he feel about this this umbrella and the dugout type thing? And I love it.
I love it too. Brian Snicker, I can tell you, not as big of a fan of it. he's letting it fly for now, but we'll see. I'll be interested to see if it lasts into the playoffs. That will be an interesting litmus test. I know that he's not. He's not a fan. Let's just put it that way. And I think Josh Donaldson is even borderline uncomfortable with it, but he is still participating. He's holding his hand as he runs around the bases. We need to get Runbrella going. I think that's the name of this celebration.
Oh, the Runbrella.
Runbrella. Okay. Yeah, where he's running around the bases holding the umbrella. I think that's what we need to get going in a hashtag or something. But it's a lot of fun. I love it, and I think the fans love it as well.
Joe, great stuff, man. We appreciate it. We will talk to you next
Tuesday.
Appreciate
you, Joe.
Sounds good. Talk to you guys later.
All right, man. The Atlanta Hawks season tips off next month. And now it's your chance to get your tickets before the public on sale. Okay. Don't miss opening night by State Farm Arena, October 26th versus the Magic. Get your tickets early by visiting hawks.com/presale. I'm like, what the hell does that say?
I like when the promo read surprises you, too.
It surprised me. It's like,
oh, wow.
Oh, what does that say?
Hawks tickets, huh?
Hawks tickets. Already.
We'll come back and get to the AMA. Any question, any topic. Let us have it either on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line 404-741-0929 or on Twitter at TBM929. We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We're queuing up your questions with the Middays AMA.
Ask me anything. Glad you asked. On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
All right. Any question, any topic to close the show out, the AMA, either on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line 404-741-0929 or on Twitter at TBM929. Let's start with some of the tweets because people were getting them in early.
Yep.
AMA for Randy. This is for you, Randy.
All right.
As a former player,
okay,
what is more inspiring or motivating when getting beat like the Falcons got beat? Getting called out,
okay,
or pumped up by the coaches on the sideline? Basically getting called out and sort of yelled at,
uh-huh,
or pumped up?
I think it's more college, it was more pumped up. Pros getting yelled at.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, because, you know, getting called out sometimes, what do we always talk about? How people need to look in the mirror sometimes and know that it's probably you. Yeah. Good self-evaluation is always good for a football player.
Let me read it. Okay. I didn't read it all the way through.
Okay.
So, getting pumped up and called out by your coaches or getting pumped up and called out by your teammates?
Oh, by your teammates.
Okay.
Because those are the ones you want to hold, be held accountable for.
Sure.
But here's the thing. You can't be sensitive now when it comes to teammates.
But I think everybody, you know, every individual deals with that stuff differently, right? And that's
one of
the hard parts about being a coach. You got to treat, you know, pump one guy up, maybe call one guy out.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to, you know, if somebody makes a mistake, you're going to call them out.
Yeah, of course.
But everybody has different personalities and managing those personalities. But look, just play better and then you don't have to get pumped up or called out.
Well, yeah, I do. Nobody plays a perfect game.
Play better football.
Nobody plays a perfect game, but you can play better.
Yeah.
You can play better.
You don't have to play a perfect game, but, you know, a little more perfect than what we saw against the Vikings.
That was raggedy.
There wasn't much going on there. Hey, do you remember your favorite college game day sign? Remember any good ones that you really like? I mean, from ever. Maybe not when, like...
I couldn't tell you, man. There's too many good ones.
I always like the ones that are just really simple. Like, Jimbo Fisher puts the milk in first before he pours his cereal
That's pretty funny.
Like, those are dumb. Like, I saw one a couple years ago that said, Harbaugh uses Snapchat filters.
Oh, I remember that one. And that one was pretty funny.
The silly ones like that just always make me laugh. Or the ones that are very specific to the school that you're playing as well. Like TCU played West Virginia, and there was a sign that said, coal mining is obsolete.
Yeah.
That's kind of funny.
Yeah. Like, but you won't say that in somebody's face.
No, probably not to a coal miner. Yeah, coal miners are pretty tough people. Yeah. Okay, here's a funny one from Llama. So, if an Atlanta fan just came back in town from a late summer vacation off the grid,
okay,
how would you update them on the state of the Braves,
okay,
Atlanta United,
okay,
and Georgia Tech football?
Braves, woo! Atlanta United, woo! Georgia Tech.
So a pretty quick synopsis from Randy then. I might mention that Ronald Acuna's got a chance to go 40-40. The Braves have won 90 games with 17 games left, and they almost have a double-digit lead in the division. United, you know, they figured it out. There was some trials and tribulations early in the summer. And Georgia Tech won their first game with Jeff Collins.
I know. Congratulations, Coach Collins.
confidence level in the Falcons going forward?
I'm lukewarm.
Yeah.
Yeah, lukewarm.
Me too.
Yeah.
Me too. The talent is there.
This
I know that they have talent.
We were out here talking in the bullpen to Eric, our on-site engineer. Both of us said the same thing. I don't want no long season, man.
Yep.
There's nothing worse than trying to talk about a sports team that is losing. Nothing.
Yes, I'm with you. Have you ever puked in a public place? Randy puked on a football field.
On a football field in front of
thousands of people.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I puked at a bar before. Like, in the bar, not in the bathroom. Like, in the bar. Yeah, I've done that.
Yeah.
Where else?
I've never thrown up on the... No, I have thrown up there, too. Yeah.
I one time accidentally threw up at the table at the bar. Like, I'm sitting at a table,
right,
and I tried to put the menu over the top of it.
Oh.
It didn't work.
That's so nasty.
Yeah, it was pretty nasty.
That's pretty nasty.
It was pretty nasty. Not my proudest moment.
No.
When you're talking about tacos,
uh-huh,
do you prefer hard shell, flour, or corn tortillas?
I like corn tortillas.
Me too.
Yes,
like corn. I'm a corn tortilla.
Yes.
You know, I don't really like hard shell tacos.
I'm not anymore.
I used to love them when I was a kid.
I used to love them when I was a kid, too.
When I was a kid, that's all I thought there was.
Yeah, but no, there's nothing like good. Oh, yeah. Then you throw it like in a little skillet pan, a little bit brown it and stuff.
Oh, with the corn tortilla?
Yeah,
oh,
man.
Yeah. It gets it a little bit crispy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it gets chewy, too, kind of?
A little bit, yeah.
I love See,
oh, it's Tuesday.
It's Taco Tuesday.
Oh yeah, that's what we had. Dinner at McMichael's house.
Shout out to LeBron James.
Yes, sir.
See, people.
I was gonna make that chicken thing, but I'll make that tomorrow.
There's a lot of good places to get tacos in Atlanta. You lived in Southern California,
dude.
Like people don't understand the difference.
There's nothing better, and I tell people this all the time. And Donna had to put me on this first time we went out to L.A. Or the first time I went to visit her family in L.A. is that. If you're going to get tacos and burritos and all that stuff, you got to get it off the truck. Yeah. Don't go to one of them fancy places.
Yeah. No.
Get it off the side of the road. Yep. And one of them, and dude, it was like six of them lined up one night. Me and her went out clubbing or something. And we pulled over there. Dude, that taco was so good. That burrito was so good.
You can spend $10 and get a feast.
Yeah, it was like, amazing.
All you can eat, basically. Have you ever gotten loud with a mechanic about your car?
No.
I haven't either.
No.
What if they mess it up?
Yeah, exactly.
It's like being mean to servers. They're going to spit in your food.
Yeah, exactly.
Mean to the mechanic. I don't know what he's going to do to the engine. Would you give up social media forever for $1 trillion?
Hell yeah.
I'd give up social media forever for like $1,000.
You know what I'm saying? Give me a fifth.
Yeah. The AMA brought to you by Right From The Heart and rightfromtheheart.org as always. Stepping on dog poop in some Jordans. Or someone spilling red wine on your new shirt.
Oh, spilling red wine on my new shirt. Because there's nothing worse than stepping.
I got a lot of shirts.
There's nothing worse than stepping on poop because you get to them grooves.
Yeah, you can't get
them out. You can't get them out.
You got to get like
that is so nasty.
You got to get like a little stick.
Oh, that's so nasty.
Like a toothpick and pick it out of there. Yeah, it's gross.
There's nothing worse.
I haven't stepped in dog poop in a long time.
I stepped in some other day.
Really?
Barefooted. Barefooted too.
Barefooted.
Yeah, Delilah.
Like, did it squish between your toes?
Damn it, Delilah. No, it got the heel.
Oh,
damn it, Delilah.
Dude, that is disgusting.
I thought I got it all up too. And I was, I don't know. Oh, I was. I was outside doing something. And you know I walk barefooted everywhere anyway.
I know you do.
And I'm quick. Oh.
Landmine.
Yeah, just mad.
Now, I guess the good news is it's easier to clean off your bare foot than it is out of some grooves and some shoes.
Yeah, but I was hot.
Oh, that is awful.
I was mad at her and it was my fault.
What's the best food that your grandma cooked?
Everything. Grandma was such a great cook.
Nothing in particular?
Grandma, everything was good.
Trying to think, because
her fried chicken was awesome.
Multiple grandmas.
Her fried chicken, her chitlins was just good.
Grammy, what did Grammy cook that was good? She did all kinds of good stuff.
Yeah, she liked grandma cooking.
My grandma Bonnie made peach cobbler. Uh-huh. It was the best thing.
Grandma,
in the world.
My grandma, but I bet it wasn't as good as my grandma's peach cobbler.
Well, you know,
it wasn't.
It was to me. It was.
Well, factually, it's not.
Okay. Well, I don't know what your grandma did do it, but my grandma's peach cobbler was damn good.
Not better than my grandma's peach cobbler.
Not bad. All right.
All right then.
Well, I'll stick with mine. You stick with yours.
I will.
Grandma Bonnie was an amazing
Grandma
chef.
Geraldine was better.
Worst game, college or pro? What's the worst game you ever played?
Worst game for in college? Probably I had a bad Auburn game. I really didn't play bad, but I just had a bad play in the game.
You had that really bad preseason game, and Nick Saban.
Oh yeah, and that was definitely the worst one ever. I ain't never just been physically had my butt kicked, dude. The way Hagen pushed me over, and I fell on the back of my head, and he ran and hit the quarterback in the back. Oh yeah, I was
that
embarrassed.
Sucks.
Oh no, I dropped a touchdown pass against Florida.
Oh yeah. Did you win the game?
Oh, we were gonna win that game anyway. Okay. I just dropped. Yeah, that was a bad one.
If you had to move to another country, where would you go?
Country. I'll probably go live in Italy somewhere, man.
I'll go to Canada.
We're still working on that, dude.
I like Canada. All right. We got to get out of here. There's so many good ones.
Yes.
Thank you guys for all the great questions today. We'll come back, give you the takeaway of the day. Hand off to Dukes and Bell as well. They're coming up next from 2 to 7. Don't go anywhere. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Oh, no. Not the shirt. Oh, take my eyes, but not the shirt. Yeah, that's pretty much what I believe, Sarah.
As our show heads into the final stretch, it's time for the takeaway of the day.
So many achievements.
On Andy and Randy, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
All right, Dukes and Bell coming up next from 2 to 7. They'll step in studio in just a minute. Takeaway of the day time. Brian Gebhardt's takeaway of the day is that I saw Jason Vargas nude.
Yeah, I did. That's okay.
I mean, and I wasn't impressed. Yeah. Both those things happened. Wendy's takeaway. It's true. Look, man, that's what Brian's takeaway of the day was, okay?
All right, man.
And I just mean he didn't look physically fit. That's
okay.
All.
All right, Randy. All right, Randy.
He had a towel.
Yeah,
on.
Randy. Okay.
Wendy's right. Takeaway of the day is that Randy stepped in a pile of dog poop.
Yeah, it wasn't a pile. It was
barefooted.
It was just a little
barefoot.
A little bit. Yeah, but
doesn't that sound awful, Mike?
Yeah, it was nasty. It was pretty nasty.
Was it, how fresh was it?
It wasn't fresh. It wasn't the freshest of fresh. It was, you know, but I caught my heel in it. I was, damn it, Delilah. It's my fault because I should have picked it up. But I didn't.
My takeaway of the day is that Timmy Tube Socks and Billy in the Car
really
enjoyed the program today. Randy's imaginary friends. Timmy Tube Socks and Billy in the Car.
My takeaway of the day is that Andy's granny makes, and Granny Bonnie makes some good peach cobbler.
Grandma Bonnie makes some good.
And then my man Mick T-Stick, he's a good dude. He always talking about, does my grandma make that giblet dressing? Dude.
Oh, yeah.
Giblet dressing. A gravy.
Yeah, the
dressing.
Gravy from the turkey.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know any other way to do it.
I'm just thinking about it. Because Mama made it this year. Because I can't make it that good, but my mama makes it all the time. But Grandma giblet gravy? Goodness, wow. Have mercy.
Yeah, I mean, nobody can cook like your grandma. I mean, everybody knows that. Everybody's grandma is the greatest cook of all time. Grandma Bonnie made fried catfish, too.
Oh, my God,
oh
dude.
My God.
Now, tell me this, though. Because, you know, some people, they be getting on me. Because, I like eat my fish. I like the whole damn fish. I like the tail and everything.
Really?
Yeah.
And the head?
Hell yeah.
Huh.
But everyone's like, oh, you got to cut the head off. What?
Yeah, I don't want the head or the tail.
Oh, man, please. I need the tail.
Give me a filet.
Oh, down that filet, man.
Filet on the side.
Throw that thing. Scale it and throw in some grease.
No, no, Tom, man, jump in here. We were fishing for grouper this last vacation.
All,
I'm not eating the head of a grouper.
Now, again, when I do what you did, and we go to down in the Keys. Now, yes, when I take it to the place, I let them fillet it and all that. But when I'm at home, man, you better go on. It's scaled, fried up.
This was Randy McMichael's country moment of the day.
Yeah, watch out for the eyeballs.
Brought to you by Whole Fish. Dukes and Bell coming up next. What are you guys getting into between 2 and 7?
Hey, man.
Dan Quinn's pissed, by the way.
Continue the everyone's chance to sound off. Also, Darren Eel's going to join us as we get back to United in action on Saturday. Kind of a slow college weekend as it goes.
Oh.
But, yeah, man, we'll be talking about our Falcons, more about what we saw last night. We were just talking in the green room. Everybody was going bananas about that Saints finish last night and how how Tech.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.